This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Tuesday, 4th of January, 2022. And just a brief plea at the top of the program. We don't do this often, but we'll take the opportunity here. Please rate the podcast on whatever your podcast app is. Apple Podcast is the most heavily used podcast app, and you can rate it there. If you're in Spotify, if you go up to the top where you click on the sort of the main header there, there's a dot, dot, dot. You press on that for the menu, and there's a way to rate the program. We'd appreciate that. It does help us in the rankings, et cetera, to see a growing listenership. So please do so, if you have something positive to say about the podcast. All right, let's look at the market action yesterday. A new high, record high close in the case of the U.S. S&P 500 with yesterday's close. The NASDAQ 100 is still lagging somewhat slightly if you look at it where it is relative to the prior little highs there back in just before the Omicron variant outbreak, I guess, in late November. But interesting in the internals, Peter, so, still this very strong concentration there with especially mega caps seeing a crazy one-day performance as people are plowing money apparently into these big names once again. So your perspective on our first real session of the year?
Yeah, it's a continuation of momentum, of course, right? So mega caps, we talked about that endlessly in the different podcasts around the Christmas holiday, and it's a continuation of that. And I think it's also partly a bet on inflation. And inflation hedges, because the mega caps with their larger market share and global distribution, they can more easily pass on prices from rising inflation or rising input costs to their customers. So that's, I think, is that. And then you have payments and travel also performing quite strongly yesterday, obviously a bit on the good Omicron news that we're getting, that hospitalization risk is half of that from the Delta variant. So even though you have massively surging case numbers, like in the US hitting a million in a single day, which can short term overwhelm hospitals, it will longer term be a big positive impact for society. And I think you're seeing that being reflected in the whole mobility part of the economy, that will get back to normal faster than expected just 2 months ago. So that's on a positive news. And the reason why I think the mega caps is this inflation hedge is that you see the flip side of inflation / high interest rates with the bubble stocks trading lower yesterday. It's they're continuing their bad performance over the past year. So that's sort of the landscape as we traded last 24 hours, and U.S. equities are. Equity futures are, with the NASDAQ is up 0.3% this morning. So we're off to a good start in equities.
Yeah, but we have to watch out for those yields, and especially long yields, as we talked about, of course, impacting potentially very highly valued stocks on the basis of multiples. If rates, and especially real rates, continue to rise, we've talked about the yield curve flattening quite aggressively as the Fed gets priced to be more aggressive, but nothing much happening at the longer end of the curve. Well, that changed a lot yesterday with a huge rise in U.S. yields, huge, perhaps not by historic standards, but certainly by local standards, as the 10-year Treasury benchmark, for example, rose over 10 basis points, 11 or 12 basis points yesterday. And some perspective on that on slide 3, where you're seeing this is the first real session of the year, a huge pop in yields locally there to more than a one-month high. And a couple of things that might be driving this. So on the one hand, you could argue, oh, this is about Omicron news, that it's not going to hold back economic growth. This is a more pro-growth stance. But look at last year, we saw a similar pop in yields as on the calendar roll. And we've talked about this reverse repo facility of the Fed. I mean, yesterday we're talking about there's just staggering amounts of money that are sloshing around from one place to the other. That facility rose to $1.9 trillion into year end. We've talked about why. A lot of this is balance sheet reduction of the big systemically important financial institutions that are trying to reduce balance sheet size to avoid regulatory penalties. And then $320 billion odd dollars seeping out of that in one day. Obviously, that means net heading out of treasuries in one way or another. And this could be the driver there. So the key, of course, is simply whether this continues, and it will quickly become very important for risky assets and for the dollar and everything else if it continues above that 1.7% high, for example, of the last few months, and the 1.75% cycle high from 2021. So just something to keep an eye on. possible explainers. It's not so easy to reduce it to a narrative reason. It could be, you know, something that's sort of reflexive and technical around these big shifts in size and money. But we're also getting off to a start early in the new year with commodities. And you're pointing out there's been quite a shift in terms of positioning ahead of the year end.
That's right, John. We can see that here in slide 5. We had the release of the cut report last night from the CFTC, delayed due to the New Year break. And it was quite a surprising find. As you can see on the table there, we saw a jump in the combined speculative length across 24 major commodities by 10%. And I circled the green lines. You can see most of the change was basically an equal combination of new longs coming into the market, but also shorts being covered, basically thereby raising the bar for all the expectations across the market that we could see rising prices as we start the year. It was the biggest weekly addition since September, or in 18 months basically. One that really stands out, because normally that is not the time of year where investors really get that involved with the market. So clearly some signals that drove this. Drove this change.
Yeah, and winding back a bit, I just should have rounded up my speech with or my soliloquy there on U.S. rates, because that is driving where the loan action really is in the FX space, and that is in the Japanese yen, where we're seeing dollar yen posting new highs above those major highs from late November last year, just before the Omicron news. So above 115.50, and it certainly could extend even higher still if U.S. Yields are set for an extension higher as well. So keeping an eye on that, I think it's certainly the most dynamic price action is going on right now in the Japanese yen pairs, not so much in the commodity-linked space just yet, at least not in FX. But one area where, of course, those yields are impacting as well in your space is certainly on precious metals and particularly gold, where we saw quite an ugly session to kick off the year.
Indeed, I would say almost across the whole metal space, something like copper as well received, got a bit of a knockback. I think they're probably worried about the Omicron situation in China right now, where obviously they are addressing the an outbreak in slightly different way than we do across the rest of the world right now. So we saw gold make a sharp turnaround to opening at a 6-week high and then straight back down to 1800, which is basically the comfort zone that we've been in now for quite a long time. It's also the 200-day moving average. So the market will. It's clearly that the themes that started the finished the year will be the ones that will drive the market here at the beginning of the year. Basically, how high can real yields run, and potentially how much stronger can the dollar get? So this will be the focus. Quite often, I think we have to be careful of reading too much into price actions during the first few days. Yields, obviously, maybe an exception considering the spike we saw last year, which continued. But we need to keep a close eye on those. One market that I think is could potentially be even more could be attractive this year is platinum. We saw a brief dump yesterday. At one point, the discount to gold reached the highest level in, I think, 13 months. So that could potentially be a recovery candidate as potentially the automobile industry starts to recover, even though we still have some worries about the semiconductor side of things, Peter.
Yeah, so there is worries about these semiconductors. It's basically all on the supply side of things that things are shaping up interestingly already here in the early parts of the year. So we have ASML, which is the biggest lithography equipment maker in Europe. So they had a pretty large fire at their Berlin factory yesterday. Luckily, nobody died from the accident. So that was, of course, the most positive news. They say in a public statement that it's too early to make any firm predictions to what extent it will impact their production. But in a worst case scenario, it could impact up to 10% of their production. And with their market share, that would mean 8 to 9% cut to the global market of lithography equipment. I think it almost sounds like it's not as bad as it seems, judging from the statement. So let's see what comes out of the coming days. But we already know that the semiconductor supplies are extremely tight, and obviously it impacts the car industry. Not so much Tesla, given our talks yesterday about their Q4 deliveries, but the overall industry is impacted with the registration coming down. And it's also impacting the overall computer industry. So that's definitely one to watch today. We have also highlighted Maersk. We have that on slide 8, also with the share price there. So their shares rose 3% yesterday. Investors are really betting that these container freight rates will remain elevated, which is bad news, I think, for the ones that are believing inflation will come down hard this year. Because as I tried to allude to in yesterday's podcast, I think that what really is different about the current inflation regime is that it's not driven only by the demand side, but you also have the supply side of things impacting and making it much more difficult to predict where inflation will go. And talking about the constraints, I've put in this this headline from Vietnam. The trade ministry is asking China to open its border on their western region that is lying just next to Vietnam, because it's creating a lot of bottlenecks in global supply chains and containers and traffic out of Vietnam. So it just underscores that this zero case policy in China, it could be a big X factor this year. And then very quickly, I've highlighted European oil majors because of the Omicron news. I think it seemed like they bid. There's a lot of positive analyst recommendations coming out on Shell in Europe, and then travel and payments baskets, which were doing well. Look out for those in terms of momentum trading. And then I've highlighted Nordnet and Avanza, which are retail brokers here in Europe. They saw 30% year-on-year customer growth in December. So that suggests that the retail crowd in the investors are still very much active and a growing segment and force in the overall financial markets.
Okay, then I'll let you guys fight for who would like to, if you want to discuss soybeans, Ole, before we look at the earnings up for the rest of the week.
Yeah, so I think on the soybeans front, it's just basically to highlight that it's a new year, but we may still have more weather scares coming throughout the year, and we're starting off with a fresh one out of Brazil. We've had hot and dry weather recently, which is hurting the crop prospects. Remember, Brazil is entering their harvest season soon, and that has led to the recent rally in soybeans. Just insert as well here on slide 7, one of the agricultural ETFs, and you see there's been a small recovery or small setback here towards the end of December, but generally it's still a very, very strong run that we've seen higher. And on Thursday we will see the December food basket being published by the United UN FAO. Remember that it's a key one to gauge the food price inflation we're seeing around the world.
All right, and then on earnings, Peter, anything you want to highlight today?
Yeah, so yesterday we talked about Jefferies. They are still reporting, expected to report today. They're getting 88% of their net revenue from investment banking and capital market activities. So I think it's a good indicator of what to expect from Goldman, Morgan Stanley, JP Morgan Chase, etc. When we get into the earnings season next week, where it starts off with the US financials. But also we have Teledyne Technologies reporting today. And as you can see on the share price on slide 9 here, over the past 5 years, it has been a very good performing. And I'm calling it, this is a potentially a sleeping beauty here. It's an interesting technology company in the US that's not getting a lot of attention, but I was looking at the numbers, and I think the free cash flow generation relative to what they need to do in terms of investments on an annual basis just makes this company look quite attractive. So for the ones that like to shop small caps that are not on most people's wish list or attentions list, this is definitely one to potentially have a closer look at.
It is an interesting stock. I'm just pulling up a longer term chart, and from the lows of the post financial crisis era, it was trading at $20. It's been a 20 bagger since those lows. Interesting story there with looks like some defense and satellite type of technologies. Okay. Let's have a look at the economic calendar. Again, that presidential election process starts in Italy. I talked a little bit more about that yesterday. We'll see what comes out of that today to follow up tomorrow. We have the National Bank of Poland out with a base rate announcement. They're expected to move 50 basis points today to a rate of 2.25%. This after inflation reached, the headline inflation at least reached 7.8% year on year in November, expected to break above 8% in the December figures out later this week. And then we have the beginning of the U.S. the beginnings of the U.S. data today with the ISM manufacturing, and of course the FOMC minutes tomorrow, very important ahead of all of the usual jobs related stuff on Friday. And then geopolitically, we need to keep an eye on that Russian NATO talks. What's coming out of that? It's a nagging issue that has many possible ugly side effects if we get into the worst scenarios around that. So let's watch for that. Let's see how the market actually continues to shake up. And if you're used to only looking, for example, at equities, keep your eye on treasuries. It's an important market here as we look forward over the next couple of days after a move like we saw yesterday. That's it for today. We'll be back tomorrow with the Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at Saxo Market Call or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.